Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. You can support the show on a one-time basis, support.greatdetectives.net, or by using the Zelle app, sending to box13@greatdetectives.net, or by mail to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho, 83715. And you can also become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. Just go over to patreon.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time for the moment we have been building up to. For more than 6 months, as we have gone through the top 20 selections in the standard division, the top five winners in the short division, and five wild cards of my own. Well, that's actually more like 7 months. But at any rate, it is time for us to announce your favorite series that we did in the course of the first 10 years of the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. And at number one, we have yours truly, Johnny Dollar with Bob Bailey. And I don't know if this actually surprised anyone, but that was really the choice, and by a good margin, people's favorite series that we've done. We'll talk a little bit more about it at the end, but we're going to bring you an episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, original air date, November the 11th of 1956, and this one is The Big Scoop Matter.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Joe McNabb, Northeast Indemnity, Johnny.
Oh, hi, Joe. What's up?
At the moment, my blood pressure.
Too much work?
No. Prospect of having to pay off on a $100,000 life insurance policy.
Uh-oh.
Fella, I think you know, Johnny. Art Wesley.
Oh, sure. Been a pal of mine for years. Reporter.
Yeah. Apparently, he's working on a story right now that somebody doesn't want him to report.
What do you mean?
Night before last, he got beat up in an alley. Yesterday, a car made a pass at him at high speed.
What about today?
It's early yet, Johnny.
Oh, yeah, sure. But let's hope it's not too late.
Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office Northeast Indemnity Affiliates, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Big Scoop matter. Expense account item one, $18.40, transportation and incidentals to New York City. I called Art Wesley's paper. He wasn't in and nobody seemed to know where he was. Then I remembered a small bar called Tony's over on 3rd Avenue. I took a cab, that's item two, $1.25, and found him in a corner booth.
Sorry, Johnny, no bodyguard. The informants I'm working with will take off fast if they spotted one. No informants, no story.
That insurance policy your paper took out on you, who's the beneficiary?
A dear departed wife, Joan.
Departed? I thought...
We split up a couple of months ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Art.
Yeah, we were living in two different worlds. I wanted a home and family, she wanted a trip to the moon every night.
Where is she now?
Who knows? On her way to the moon, I guess.
Hey, look, this story you're working on, Art.
It's hot, Johnny. And big, real big. A national gambling syndicate. And run by a guy right here in New York.
Who?
I'm getting close, but I'm not sure yet. When I am, then out come my articles.
What's this guy gonna do when you push him into a corner? Look, I'm worried about you.
You look, Johnny, I'm not as foolish as you think. I've got his name written down and put in a safe deposit box with what evidence I got. That's my real insurance.
Oh, Art, look, we've been friends a long time. I'm not going to let you do this alone.
Sorry, Johnny. I've got to go it alone.
Since I'd gotten nowhere with Arne, I decided to try his wife, Joan, even though they were separated. I found her in an apartment on East 68th, but she was hardly what you'd call cooperative.
Look, Mr. Dollar, so you're a friend of Art's. At the moment, I'm not.
Mrs. Wesley, your marriage with Art is none of my business. But that insurance policy his paper took out on him is. And incidentally, you're still the beneficiary.
So?
So he could be in danger, those articles he's writing.
Why doesn't he drop it?
Oh, look, you know Art better than that.
Then what am I supposed to do about it? That story is his business. How I feel about things is my business. And come to think of it, I can't see that either of those things is your business.
Item 3, $1.80 cab fare to police headquarters in the office of my old friend, Detective Lieutenant Rastelli.
Sure, I know about those attempts on Art's life. So I talked to him and got nowhere.
He told me the stories about a national gambling syndicate.
It's more than he told me.
Supposedly the big boss is here in New York. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Look, the minute Art quits thinking he's got to hit the jackpot all by himself and lets us in on it, we'll give him all the protection he... Lieutenant Rastelli. Yeah, just a minute. It's for you, Johnny.
Oh, thanks. Hello?
Art Wesley, Johnny. They told me at your hotel where to reach you.
Anything new, Art?
I'm leaving town for a few hours. This could be it, Johnny. Tonight could be the jackpot.
Well, listen, let me go with you.
Sorry, I gotta go alone. It's part of the deal.
Art, it could be a trap.
I can take care of myself. Call you when I get back. Wish me luck.
Well, wait. Art! Art! Item 4, $1.80 cab to Art's apartment, where I persuaded the manager to let me in. I was looking for anything that would give me a lead. Then, near the phone, on a scratch pad, I found where he'd written the word Watika several times. Sure, Lake Watika, upstate. Art had a lodge there. Item 5, $25 even for a rented car. It was a 3-hour drive to Lake Watika, which was bad enough. But to top it off, it started to rain, and rain hard. When I finally got to the highway turnoff, the side road to the lake was a mass of mud. Then I got two quick breaks. It stopped raining, and I spotted the 6-mile road into Art's place. Half an hour further on, I saw a light. Art's car was parked at one side, and the front door of the lodge was wide open. When I got to it, I saw why. Art was lying in the doorway. Yeah. He was the one who wanted to hit the jackpot. But you can't hit the jackpot with a slug, particularly when that slug is right between your eyes. I drove to the sheriff's office and reported it. Sheriff Tompkins and his boys took over. But in the darkness and the mud, they could only make a routine check. He asked me to meet him at the lodge the next morning, so I did.
Buddy was right here in the doorway, huh, son?
Yeah, Sheriff, I didn't move it.
And Wesley probably got shot when he answered the door by somebody standing out there on the ground.
Because of that bullet hole in the roof?
Yeah. Right over that shelf that's stocked with canned goods, sugar, salt, and the like. Apparently, he used this place regular.
Yeah, he used to do some of his writing here. Were you able to determine time of death?
Coroner says between 10:30 and 11 last night. What time did you arrive?
About half an hour after the rain stopped. I'd say 11:45.
Means it was still raining a good half hour after the killing. Yeah, no wonder we found no tracks.
Hey, look, Sheriff. Art was working on a hot story about a national gambling syndicate. Could be that he found out who the boss was last night, the hard way.
Oh? Then you think the killer was from out of town? Maybe New York?
Yeah. Now, where would he stay? Is there a hotel around here?
Lake Watika Inn? Just outside the village, about 6 miles from here.
Sheriff, I'll check it out.
The guests here at the inn, Mr. Dollar? Well, we have only two who checked in yesterday. It's the off-season, of course.
Yeah, clerk, who are they?
Well, Mr. Cooper yesterday afternoon and a Mr. Buckley around dark.
Uh-huh. Are they still here?
Mr. Cooper is sitting right out there on the terrace, but Mr. Buckley paid in advance and left quite early this morning.
I see. Did Buckley give any reason for stopping here?
He said he was a traveling man and didn't like to drive in the rain.
Okay. I'd like you to write down a description of him. I'll pick it up on the way out.
Oh, I'll be glad to, sir.
All Hi.
Oh, good morning.
Enjoying the scenery?
Yes, immensely. Oh, sit down, won't you?
Sure, thanks. My name's Dollar.
Mine's Cooper. You just check in?
I'll just drop by.
I came yesterday.
Uh-huh. Pretty up here this time of year.
Yes. Yes, certainly is. I really enjoy places like this in the off-season. It's a nice change.
Too bad the weather hasn't been better, huh?
Well, the rainstorm last night? Oh, I enjoyed that, too.
You were out in it?
Oh, no. No. No, I enjoyed it the way a storm should be enjoyed. In front of the fireplace in my cottage with a drink and a good book. No, Mr. Dollar, I stayed in last night.
And that was that. I picked up the description of the other guest, Buckley, from the clerk and gave it to Sheriff Tompkins, who got out a bullet in him. Then I drove back to New York City, turned in my rented car, and took a cab, that's item 6, $1.70, to Joan Wesley's apartment.
Yes. They notified me this morning about Art's death. I don't know what to say. What is there to say?
Good question, Mrs. Wesley.
If only he hadn't been so stubborn. If only he'd given up that story about the gambling syndicate or whatever it was.
Yeah. You figure somebody in the syndicate killed him?
Why, of course.
Mrs. Wesley, did you know Art had gone on up to the lodge at Lake Watika?
No. Mr. Dollar, I'm rather tired.
One more thing. Did you go out last night?
No. It was raining. I stayed here in the apartment.
All evening?
All evening.
I see. Well, thanks, Mrs. Wesley. Maybe I was imagining, but it seemed to me Joan Wesley hesitated just a little before telling me she hadn't been out of her apartment last night. And if she had gone to Lake Watika, I checked the basement garage. Her car was clean. Too clean. Item 7, $5 to the garage attendant for some very interesting information. Joan Wesley had ordered her car washed first thing this morning. Why? Because the wheels were covered with mud from last night.
Act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in just a moment. Better schools mean better citizens, better neighbors, better families. But we can't expect our children to respond, to learn and grow, if we ourselves are indifferent to their school environment. CBS Radio urges that you write to Better Schools, 9 East 40th Street, New York 16, New York, for information about how citizens can spark community action to improve their schools. That address again is Better Schools, 9 East 40th Street, New York 16, New York. Now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and the Big Scoop Matter.
I tell you, I didn't leave this apartment last night.
Your car says differently, Joan.
Car.
You had it washed today because it was all muddy. And the reason it was muddy was because you had it out in the rain last night.
Look,
another thing. You told me you didn't know Art had gone to the lodge. You hadn't heard from him. But the switchboard operator told me you had a call from him yesterday. Now, why else would he call you except to tell you where he was going? Well, how about it, Joan?
All right. Art did call me yesterday and told me he was going to Lake Watika.
And how about last night?
Yes. I went out, but not to Lake Watika.
Art wouldn't give you a divorce. By killing him, you get your freedom and $100,000.
I didn't kill Art. I didn't go up there last night.
And where did you go?
Might as well know. The reason I wanted a divorce from Art was because I'd found someone else.
Oh?
That's where I went for a few minutes last evening.
Why did you lie about the phone call from Art yesterday?
I don't know. I was confused. I was afraid it would look bad for me if it came out that I knew Art had gone up there.
It doesn't look good for you this way, believe me.
Oh, Johnny, I'm telling the truth.
Who is this fellow you're interested in?
I don't see why he
Who is he?
His name is Ted Nash. Will you have to talk to him?
I sure will, and right now. But I was wrong about talking to Ted Nash right now. I called his apartment and got no answer. Item 9, $1.60, cab fare to police headquarters in the office of Detective Lieutenant Restelli.
You figure this guy Nash and Joan Wesley could have killed Art and used a gambling syndicate threat as a cover, huh?
It's a possibility, Lieutenant.
Well, I'll see what I can find out about Nash. How'd you do at Lake Watika?
Two guests checked in the day of the killing. One, a man named Buckley. He left early this morning. Sheriff Tompkins has a bulletin out on him.
Who else?
A fellow named Cooper, who apparently likes to go places in the off-season. Nothing to tie him in particularly.
Cooper, huh? I had a rumble some time ago that a guy named Cooper was involved in that gambling syndicate.
What?
Trouble is, we got no proof.
Hey, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Art told me he'd put the name of the man he was after in a safe deposit box. If we could find the key to that box.
How about Art's apartment?
Let's take a look. So we looked, and we found the key tucked away in a desk, but only a number on it. Nothing to tell where it was located. I gave it to Lieutenant Rastelli, and he promised to check every bank in town if necessary. While I went on back to Lake Watika to see if the man named Cooper at the inn was the same one Rastelli told me about. When I got there, after a frantic 3-hour drive, I found him comfortably sitting by the fireplace.
Well, Mr. Dollar, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Cooper, I'm going to get right to the point. You told me you came up here to enjoy the scenery.
Yes, that's fine. Why?
The man who was killed last night, Art Wesley. He was trying to expose a national gambling syndicate.
Oh, that's very interesting. So?
So, I know a police detective in New York who thinks you're a member of that syndicate.
Well, now, Mr. Dollar, that's a very serious charge. I presume you have proof. Well? No proof. Well, in that case, I don't think there's any...
Mr. Dollar, long-distance call for you. You can take it on that phone right beside you.
Thanks, clerk. Johnny Dollar.
Rastelli in New York, Johnny.
Hi, Lieutenant. You locate that...
Yeah, the safe deposit box. And in it, we found the name of the man Art Wesley was closing in on. It's Cooper.
Thanks very much. Well, Cooper, you wanted proof? We've got it. Evidence that ties you in with the syndicate. Clerk.
Well, now, this is ridiculous,
is
Dollar.
Is it?
This...
Let me tell you the facts about this thing.
Is something the matter, Mr. Dollar?
Get Sheriff Tompkins on the phone, clerk. Tell him I've got Art Wesley's killer here.
You mean Mr. Cooper?
Oh, now, wait a minute. Now, look, Dollar. If you'd get your facts straight, you'd drop this silly notion of yours.
What kind of facts, Cooper?
What time was Wesley killed?
Between 10:30 and 11 last night.
But, Mr. Dollar, Mr. Wesley's place is some 6 miles from here.
That's right. Why?
Well, then Mr. Cooper couldn't have killed him.
What do you mean?
Last night, I took a drink to Mr. Cooper's cottage here at the inn.
What time?
Around 20 to 11, and I'd chatted with him for at least 15 minutes.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, quite sure.
Well, Mr. Dollar, I'll buy you a drink sometime.
Cooper strolled back to the bar with a satisfied smirk on his face. So the one man who had to be Art's killer couldn't have killed him. I collared the clerk again and had him repeat his story in detail.
If you recall, it rained heavily last night, Mr. Dollar.
Yes, yes, I drove through it on my way up here.
Well, I was making the rounds of the inn, checking windows, things like that, when the house phone rang. It was Mr. Cooper calling from his cottage. He wanted a drink.
You say that was at 20 to 11?
Yes, I always jot down the time when I am called away from the desk.
All right, go on, go on.
Well, when I got to Mr. Cooper's cottage, he was sitting in the living room in front of the fire with a book.
Yeah.
We chatted a while, and then when I returned here to the desk, I jotted down the time again. 10:55.
Well, that does it.
What do you mean?
Oh, it's a good 20-minute drive from here to Art Wesley's lodge. If he was killed between 10:30 and 11, and Cooper was here at that time, he couldn't have done it.
Well, I'm sorry, but facts are facts. And, oh, excuse me. Lake Watika Inn. Yes, just a moment. Sheriff Tompkins, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, thanks. Hi, Sheriff.
Thought you ought to know, son. Remember that man Buckley we were looking for?
Yeah, sure, the other guest at the inn.
Yeah, we picked him up. I've been questioning him for an hour.
Any luck?
No, sir. He's just a traveling salesman who stayed at the inn because he didn't want to drive in the rain.
You sure?
Buckley swears he doesn't even know Cooper. Just between you and me, Johnny, I think we got the wrong fella.
No place again. I decided to start all over. Got into my car and drove to Art Wesley's place. Nothing was changed.
I remember the trip I'd made the night he was killed, how it rained heavily until about half an hour before I arrived. How I'd found him lying in the open doorway, a bullet hole in his head. Yeah, and the hole in the ceiling over the shelf of provisions, marking the path of the bullet. It was there, so were the provisions. Canned food, mustard, sugar, a package of crackers. There was some... Wait a minute. Sugar. The sugar bowl. I stared at it for a moment. I remembered a couple of things the room clerk at the inn had told me. And suddenly the whole deal slid neatly and quietly into place. I drove back to the inn fast. Cooper's cottage was empty, so I went inside to the bedroom and took a look around. Then I spotted one of the pictures on the wall, a little out of place. I looked behind it. Yeah, just what I expected. Outside, I found Cooper sitting on the terrace in front of the main building. I slid into a chair across from him.
Well, Mr. Dollar, what fantastic crime are you going to accuse me of today?
Cooper, I got a one-track mind, and it's still stuck on murder.
Oh, now look, Dollar, we've been over this before, and personally, I find it quite boring. So much so that it's interfering with my vacation here.
That's too bad.
Yes, it is. So I'm leaving this evening.
I don't think so, Cooper.
Oh, come now.
Art Wesley was trying to expose a figure in a gambling syndicate. You.
Well, that's a matter of conjecture.
You had to stop him for keeps.
Oh, now look, Dollar. The time of Art Wesley's death has been established as between 10:30 and 11 last night.
That's right, between 10:30 and 11 last night.
And I'm sure you remember the room clerk telling you he was with me in my cottage living room from 10:40 to 10:55.
I sure do.
So that I certainly couldn't have killed your friend Wesley 6 miles from here during that time.
Except that Art Wesley wasn't killed at his lodge.
What are you talking about?
You see, I remembered something else the clerk had told me. The night of the killing, it stopped raining a little after 11.
All right, what difference does that make?
All the difference in the world, believe me. Here's what really happened, Cooper. You killed Art Wesley in the bedroom of your cottage here at the inn.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
You immediately called the room clerk over and chatted with him in your living room for about 15 minutes. He didn't know there was a corpse in the next room.
Oh, really?
After he left, you took Wesley's body the 6 miles to his place and planted it in the doorway.
Oh, now, look, Dollar...
Your problem was to make it look like he'd been killed there. Then you remembered. The slug that had killed him hit the wall in your bedroom. That gave you an idea. You figured out the right angle at the lodge and fired a shot upwards from the outside the door. It went through the ceiling at the back.
All right, Dollar, I've had enough of your half-baked theories with no proof whatsoever to back them up.
Correction, Cooper. This time I've got proof. There was a shelf of food under the bullet hole and a bowl of sugar directly under it.
A bowl of... So what?
When sugar gets wet, it gets crusty and it stays that way. But the sugar in that bowl was dry. Now, if the killing was between 10:30 and 11, and it rained heavily until after 11, then some rain would have dropped through the bullet hole into the sugar.
I see.
But, Cooper, the sugar was dry. So the bullet hole was made after the time of the murder, when you planted Wesley's body there. Just a little detail, Cooper, but it nails you. That and, of course, the fact I found the slug that really killed Wesley just a couple of minutes ago.
Oh.
Buried in the wall of your bedroom behind a picture you'd moved slightly to cover it.
Well, Dollar, I may as well tell you that I saw you come out of my cottage a few minutes ago. I figured you knew. So ever since you sat down here, I've been holding a gun on you under the table.
You know, Cooper, I may as well tell you. Ever since I sat down here, I've been holding a gun on you, too.
Were you...
Let's have it.
Well, you... You didn't have any gun.
A big-time gambler bluffed right out of the game. Cooper, you're slipping. Item 10, 3750, transportation and incidentals back to Hartford. Expense account total $187.40. Remarks? Cooper's awaiting trial. About Art Wesley... Well, I guess that sugar bowl was a dead man's revenge. And come to think of it, that revenge was pretty sweet. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Our star will return in just a moment. In days long since gone by, one had to go out in search of derring do. But in a fast-moving world, exciting things are happening right around the clock. Things you can be in on no matter what else you're doing, as long as your radio is nearby. With CBS newsmen on the job, you can make CBS Radio your listening post for world events. Stay tuned now for 5 minutes of CBS News, to be followed over most of these same stations by the FBI in Peace and War. Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, colorful New Orleans, from nightlife in the Latin Quarter to the dismal, deadly swamps. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood. Written by Robert Reif, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in tonight's cast were Virginia Gregg, Russell Thorson, Barney Phillips, Stacey Harris, Larry Thor, Parley Bear, and Les Tremaine. Musical supervision is by Amerigo Marino. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Dan Cumberly speaking.
Welcome back. Well, this was a fun episode. This was actually, I believe, the very first of the half-hour Johnny Dollars, and this was really well done. There are many strengths in the series. One thing that I think you do see is just the cast of this particular episode shows how many of the really superb character actors of the golden age of radio that you got into this particular series. Some of the big ones that stand out, of course, Larry Thor, who a few years previously had starred in Broadway's Is My Beat. You had Virginia Gregg, and you had Stacey Harris, who played so many roles during the golden age of radio. And you typically wouldn't be able to get together a cast like this when the golden age of radio was in full steam. You know, they would all be, you know, on different productions. But by 1956, so much of the golden age of radio programs, they had shut down. And so you know, could get more of them together. There was just less competition for these actors who still wanted to do radio and definitely had the talent. And that shines through in this episode. Good acting, good music, and I think a pretty solid script. You know, when I look at these years, particularly when we get past the serialized versions, I would say the serialized versions or episodes of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, are some of the best radio drama in any genre. I do think the writing, when you get into the half-hour episodes, it does begin to lose some steam as the series goes on, as Jack Johnstone has to start writing all the scripts. So the writing isn't, I think, what made it so memorable once you get past the serialized versions. What really comes down to, I think, performance of Bob Bailey is just great. It's just a superb match between actor and character. And there are so many subtleties in his performance. And the other thing, which we don't really hear in this episode, is just the amount of continuity and recurring characters that Jack Johnstone put into the series during this Bailey era. Because there were just, you know, there was Durango Laramie, there was Meg smoky, La Chagrie. There is just this great variety of characters where you follow the show from week to week, and you did not have that really in detective programs at the time, not only over radio, but television as well. You know, it was essentially, you could watch a TV show, and you wouldn't really have to have watched the first episode. But with Johnny Dollar, you really, the more that you hear of it, the more that you will, when it comes to these Bailey episodes, the more you're able to say, oh yeah, he met this character before. So some really interesting stuff with its characters that was way ahead of its time. And there are some episodes still missing. I have some strong indications that we will have more of Bob Bailey's run on Johnny Dollar coming to circulate. Don't want to step on any announcement, but I am definitely up for more. Again, great performance by Bob Bailey. And just some really unique stuff about this series. And I definitely understand why listeners pick this as their favorite series. I will add there's one other advantage that the show has. And that is that there's kind of, I would say, like a mini generation of listeners who... they did not actually hear Sam Spade or any of the previous radio detectives growing up, or they may have just heard them really briefly. But they heard Bob Bailey as Johnny Dollar. And that wasn't just through those who listened during the 1955 to 60 run. But the series was rerun frequently over Armed Forces radio services, you know, into the 60s and into the 70s. So a lot of kids picked this up. And I really enjoyed the performance, and I think that there is a group of fans just dedicated to that particular interpretation of Johnny Dollar. Listener comments and feedback now, and we have a couple regarding Nero Wolf, and this one comes from Roy, who says, heard every Nero Wolf there is that I could find, and Daniel says, it's a shame there are so few of these. Well, thanks so much, Daniel. And now when it comes to the New Adventures of Nero Wolf with Cindy Greenstreet, they only made 26, and we do have 25 of them. 25 and a half, actually. There's like portion of the episode, but I don't play incomplete episodes, obviously. But there was more Nero Wolf over old-time radio. It'd be great to hear more of. I had a listener comment regarding the amazing Nero Wolf with Francis X. Bushman as Wolf recently over on YouTube, saying, you know, it would have been nice if there was, he'd done more of this. Well, he did, but we only have one episode, so I would be up for more Nero Wolf in any incarnation during the Golden Age of Radio, because there were several series, and there were three series prior to the Greenstreet series, and we only have two episodes in circulation from those three series. So definitely room for some more to show up. All right, well, I want to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. And I want to thank Christine. Christine has been one of our Patreon supporters since March 2018, currently supporting us at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, Christine. And that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Let George Do It. So we're getting a second dose of Bob Bailey this week. And then next Monday, we are going to go back to Box 13. So be sure and listen for that. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.